Jays are in Chicago. Some news today. Teoscar Hernandez has been sent down. He had four strikeouts yesterday. He wishes he could just pull the chute. I think he had had enough for a couple of days ago anyway. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays analyst. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you. How's everything?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. And, you know, the Blue Jays, they are what they are, as we know. And we'll get to Vladdy in a moment. But you look at some of these other guys, the guys that they've acquired in trade past few years, Teoscar Hernandez being one of them. Couple of other options, Brandon Drury, Billy McKinney. You know, none of them are exactly lighting the league on fire. This second wave of players who are in their 20s, and I'm sure Atkins and Shapiro were hopeful could contribute something. I'm not seeing it. Is it too early to make a call on these guys, or where do you stand on it?
No, I don't think it's too early to make a call. You know, for most of them, you know, they were guys that probably profiled out as extra players, but you dreamed that maybe if they got enough playing time, they could figure it out. And you, and as a rebuilding team, you have that ability to give them the playing time to see if they can maybe blossom and become more. So, you know, you get Randall Grichuk, you know, he has shown flashes in the past of you know, great power and some production, but then it would sort of disappear. But then he showed flashes again of it. And you think, okay, well, maybe we can. Here's the other part of it. We all think we're smarter than the other guy. I don't know if you know this. All us GMs, we all think we're smarter than the other guy. And their player that has all the potential and upside that they couldn't figure out how to get them to do it, we're going to do it. We all think we're going to be the ones who can get them to figure it out. And inevitably, what we learn is that you know, there's a reason why they were willing to give that player up. More often than not. Now, every once in a while, like, listen, if you can get a pitcher from the Marlins, you got a shot to get a pretty good pitcher. Because you think about Luis Castillo with the Cincinnati Reds, he came from the Marlins for Dan Straley. How about Chris Paddock with the San Diego Padres, lighting it up right now, young kid, came in a deal for Fernando Rodney. Domingo Herman is a guy that came from the Marlins and who's 8-1 right now with the Yankees. So, you know, you get these guys who, you know, have some potential, haven't figured out. You hope that they can blossom with you. Randall Grichuk's got a lot of holes in his swing. He's always going to be a high strikeout. You know, some pop in his bat, but he doesn't give you a lot of consistent quality at bats. Doesn't get a great on-base percentage. Billy McKinney is sort of that left-handed extra outfielder that can play in a given day in a matchup. At best, that's probably what he is. And they were hoping maybe he could blossom into more. Teoscar Hernandez shows flashes, but the consistency just isn't there. You know, there's a reason why the teams gave them up. And look, the deals that they got these guys in, they didn't necessarily, they weren't like the lead player, you know, in a deal for you know, giving up, you know, David Cohn in a deal somewhere or Roy Halladay in a deal somewhere. They were, you know, they were lesser deals, hoping to catch lightning in a bottle.
Steve, you just mentioned a bunch of trades and GMs thinking they're smarter than everyone else. Was your first order of business when you became the GM of the Mets, did you not get a right-hand man and say to them, your main job is, if I'm doing something stupid, you have to tell me and talk me out of it? Because that would be my first move as a high-ranking executive.
Great point. When I got the job, I was young. You know, I got the job in, 97? And at the point, I was 34 years old. So I was a young general manager. One of the things I thought is I needed to surround myself with gray hair. You know, guys who have been around for a while, some experienced guys. Now, I had gray hair then, too, but you know, the experienced guys to come around, just to have them there to be able to do it. And now, it's interesting, all GMs are a little bit different. There are some general managers who say no to everything, and they need an assistant to push them to say yes. There are some who need that. There are some who just want to make a deal, and they need other guys to sort of rein them in a little bit. You know, and so you need to know yourself to know who you need to surround yourself with. But, yeah, you do need some of those people around you to help you make the right decisions and to keep you honest in the way that you're thinking about it.
Steve, I've even heard of some that they want to have this support system, but whenever it comes time for a trade, they run off and lock themselves in a room and they don't talk to anybody about it, which is nuts.
I tell you, that was the best part. I thought, like, the trade deadline and the winter meetings, it was the best part of being a general manager, because you got to see your organization at work. You got to hear everybody's opinions. You got to hear the information they were able to gather. You got to able, you know, to go through it. And what I did is I challenged the thinking. I played sort of devil's advocate. I said, well, how are we better? Are we better with this? Are we better with that? Why would we be better that way? What do we know about this guy? And so I would challenge to try to make, and I wanted people to disagree so I could get all of the information and then make the best decision I possibly could to try to move forward. You know, if everybody's singing the same song, then you're only, you know, and they all agree with you, you're going to be in trouble as a general manager.
With Steve Phillips, I'm always fascinated, front office types, the difference between a reaction, an appropriate reaction, and an overreaction. And I'm sure it happens constantly when you're just spitballing behind the scenes. And, you know, I'm sure it came up with the Jays with Teoscar Hernandez, where they decided that's enough. Like, he's moping around, he's lost his confidence, we've got to move on from him. But then you look at a guy like Danny Jansen, who plays a very different position, very specialized position, very important position. And this is a guy who came up in September last year and lit the league on fire. And I think they've got him penciled in. This is their catcher of the future. And his at-bats have been a mess. So how do you think they're reacting behind the scenes to Danny Jansen?
Yeah, I think that certainly concerned about the offense. Because what you don't want is you don't want somebody to go under to the point that they can never recover. And, you know, when you go up to hit, and you look up at that scoreboard, and it says 163. Like, I have experience with that, too. So, like, that's a horrible feeling. Like, you think, okay, I need, in one swing of the bat, I need to get 5 hits. Do you know how much pressure that puts on yourself to do it? Now, the key for Jansen is less about the offense and more about handling the pitching staff, right? That's always going to be the priority. And his defense isn't suffering, despite the fact that the offense is. Teoscar Hernandez's defense, it was deceiving. It's actually worse than his hitting, right? So, like, he's not a good defender and he's not hitting. That's not a good formula. For Jansen, at least, the defense is holding up while they're trying to figure out how to get the bat going.
With Steve Phillips, Vladdy obviously had a coming out party in San Francisco, and he's been getting on a base a lot more. His numbers are starting to move upwards. He's obviously finding some confidence. Do you think this is kind of the beginning for him? And now the rest of the way, I mean, he's going to have some dips, but any conversation about him being demoted or days off because he's got to find his game, do you think that's mostly in the past now?
Yeah, I do. I think that, I tell you, it reminded me of this. Like, I went golfing with my son on Saturday, and we got to the fourth hole, and I was like, okay, now I'm ready. Can we start now? Like, I got all that out of the way. Now I'm ready. We can get going. That's kind of what it was like for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. When he hit those home runs, it's kind of like, okay, I'm ready now. Now it starts. And you know, he went through what he went through. And look, part of it is, you know, and this is really true. When players are in the minor leagues, I wanted them to fail at some point. And people hear that, like, wait, don't you want them to just be great so they can get to the major leagues? No, I want them to fail at some point, because every hitter is going to fail at the major league level. And if you haven't failed at the minor league level, then you've never learned how to get yourself out of a slump. You've never learned about how to deal with those emotions. You've never learned about how to deal with those thoughts and those voices that come into your head about what's going on. And for Vladdy Jr., he didn't struggle a lot coming up. And so the idea that he had a struggle and it took him a little longer maybe to work his way through it shouldn't surprise us, because, you know, he didn't really have the ability, the opportunity to experience it in the minor leagues where most everybody else does.
Great stuff as always, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst.